The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, former BBC broadcaster Hugh Edwards has said that the upcoming Channel 5 drama about his downfall is, and I'm quoting here, hardly likely to convey the reality of what happened. The two-part drama, Power, The Downfall of Hugh Edwards, which starts tonight on Channel 5, hasn't been seen by, I suppose, any of us in this studio as yet. But it got us thinking in general about those fictionalized dramatizations of real life events where the people are still living, where the people maybe disagree with how they're being represented. And we're joined now to discuss all of this by Olivia Fahey, entertainment journalist and creator of Press Play, who joins us now. Good evening to you, Olivia. Hugh Edwards, clearly not overly pleased or impressed by this dramatization on Channel 5.
No, he's not pleased at all. And to be fair, considering he wasn't really notified or asked about it until after they'd already filmed it, you can kind of see why he might be a little bit on the disappointed and annoyed side of things. But at the end of the day, you know, this story is basically explaining how he went from being one of the BBC's top news broadcasters to essentially being convicted of sexually explicit images of children that he had created. And, you know, there'd been all these rumours that there'd been a BBC, someone high up in the BBC who was engaging in grooming accusations from a young person. And after a while, it was revealed to be Hugh Edwards himself. So the way that the episode, the special tonight that's going to air, the way that it's going to be portrayed is actually a dramatisation, but Martin Clunes is actually portraying Hugh himself. And the production company actually went about by interviewing all the journalists who were covering the story from the moment that they sort of got the break, and then also the child and his family. So Hugh wasn't actually really involved in the making of this whatsoever. So there's definitely probably going to be a little bit of a skew to it. But at the end of the day, he did plead guilty and get a suspended sentence. So there's bound to be some sort of truth to it as well. He's just not pleased about it being broadcast and brought
and
up again.
For those who don't remember, I mean, Hugh Edwards was considered something of a national treasure in the UK. He would have covered the Queen's funeral, for example, and he would have been held in great esteem. He was very senior in the BBC. So this kind of fall from grace was very severe, really, wasn't it, in the nation of Britain?
It was indeed. And then in fairness, considering the BBC have already come under fire for hiding accusations of this nature in like the Jimmy Savile case as well, you know, they had an obligation to make sure that they were doing everything above board, which is what they should have been doing in the first place. But they were under even more scrutiny when more of these stories started coming out, because at the end of the day, they were known for kind of sweeping things under the rug. So basically people wanted to make sure that they were held to a higher power. And this also came out around the same time as the Philip Schofield scandal, who was also probably like the ITV equivalent of Hugh Edwards, can you say? So there was definitely a lot of talk at the time of people in a position of power taking advantage of young people.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say, though, isn't it, that this isn't Martin Clune, by the way, came out earlier, who's playing Hugh Edwards and was asked about Hugh Edwards' criticism. And he said, well, if you don't want to watch it, or if you think it's too soon, don't watch it. And he was very unapologetic about it. But this isn't the only dramatisation of real life events, is it? This isn't the only, you know, The Crown, I'm thinking, is very sort of famously a dramatisation of the royal family that the royal family, of course, do not comment on. But you hear at times that they aren't overly impressed with what's being said. But there are other things, like, for example, the Love Story situation about the Kennedys. Daryl Hannah has come out recently and said how she is portrayed in that series, which, of course, is streaming currently and thousands of people have obviously watched it. She's saying that this bears no resemblance to either her relationship with John Kennedy or indeed, you know, that she's never taken coke. She's never done any of the things that she's made out to do in it.
Yes, and you'd think that, you know, like these things can be very much fact checked. And I was even looking up to see had there ever even been any rumours of that going on. And there was nothing that I could find. So why insert something like this into the series, even though you know that you've got some sort of level of creative freedom? But when the people are still alive to sort of say, hang on a minute, that's kind of almost defamation of my character by saying that I was doing drugs when you literally have no proof of that. And because of the way that people watch these shows as well, they do take a lot of it as fact. Like anything that says based on a true story, you do take that, oh, like the majority of this must be somewhat true, maybe with a bit of like a Hollywood lick of paint. But for the majority of it, people will just sort of be like, oh, like I didn't know that that happened, and not really realize that maybe it didn't. Like there's a great website called History Versus Hollywood that I would often look up after seeing a film or a TV series like that, just to kind of check and see like what actually was kind of made up. And especially, do you know what?
Is it
Ryan
ethical?
Murphy should have known better.
I was about to say Ryan Murphy
as well.
Ryan Murphy has been previously challenged on his representations of real life people in dramatizations. But is there something unethical about taking people, many of whom are still alive, and portraying them, not as characters, but portraying them as themselves in a fictionalized event, but kind of not bothering to either investigate the truth or not bothering to necessarily stick to it in an unvarnished way?
I definitely think there is some people who follow the kind of like creative freedom a little bit too much. And they're kind of like, oh, but it's better for the story, because at the end of the day, he's not making a documentary. He's making an entertainment show. Mm. And I think that's probably where the mindset is that as much as, yes, these are real people, they're characters in this version of events. They're characters in this iteration. They're not actually like the real people themselves. And, you know, that's how he's, maybe how he's tending to kind of skew towards it. But at the end of the day, when you actually have like the people are still alive that can counter these things, I suppose that's one benefit, that they can come out and say, no, that's not what happened. But for the people that have passed, that people will then assume that that's what they were like.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you've got some difficulty there. And like we said, like you'd think that he would have known better, because Olivia de Havilland sued him over his portrayal of her character in the Feud series. And all because in one of the scripts, she referred to her sister as a female dog, shall we say. And she was like, I never once said that about my sister. Now, she sued for millions and it didn't win. But at the same time, you do kind of see her point of, you're portraying me as this version of your own version of events, as this like characterization, but it's not me. And you know, while there are some actors who have no problem with coming in and playing this kind of like over the top version of themselves when it's like for humor or things like that, like Nicolas Cage did it in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent,
and that was actually funny and brilliant, but that was kind of meta. But it was also him, he was obviously involved in it, and he was, you know, sending himself up, and it was self-deprecating.
Exactly.
And it was very good. Like Mick McCarthy apparently left the Saipan movie early because he wasn't overly impressed. And that's another kind of real life event that many people would know the truth about what happened there. And yet we see it turned into a movie, which of course is going to take liberties in certain places.
Yes, and especially because there were certain scenes that were, you know, like they were all behind closed doors. They weren't really something that the public were privy to. So you do have to kind of fill in the gaps as best you can, but you do it through interviews. You do it through like speaking to people who were there and not kind of just making assumptions as such. And something that I think is going to be really interesting is when the Beatles biopic comes out, because there's four films that are going to be covering each one of the Beatles as kind of like the central point, but they're all going to be like talking about the same things in different points of view. And I think that's where that's going to be very interesting, because it's all going to be their own sort of opinion. And then, you clearly, know, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle kind of thing.
Clearly the public are not losing any appetite for this at the moment. They are enjoying this. Look, thank you very much for joining us on all of that. That is Olivia Fahey, entertainment journalist and creator of Press Play. Shane, you interviewed Jean McConville's
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric Range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.